There's one idea from the parsha. It's so kedai to mention. It's hard not to mention it. We mentioned it many times, but I don't think I mentioned it in recent years. Eitan will tell me if I did. And I was going to mention it, Shal Shuvis, but someone sponsoring Shal Shuvis is going to be a very special Siyum at Shal Shuvis. So I'm not speaking at Shal Shuvis. So there's one really tremendous Torah. I mean, there's so many important Torahs in Parshas Chayesara. There's a beautiful Chiddush Yerim. There's a medrash that says that Rabbi Akiva, when he wanted to wake up his Talmidim, when they were...
Simon's Sefer Mirbarach.
He has this? So right here, Aruch Gedaliah. It's great. The Chiddush Yerim says that one time, the medrash says that Rabbi Akiva wanted to wake up his Talmidim who were shluffing during Shir. So what did he do? He told them that Esther Zachsa Lamalchus al Kufchav Zayin Medinos, Bekoach HaKufchav Zayin Shana, Shechai Sasara. Right? The way he woke up his Talmidim was by telling them that why was Esther Hamalka Zocha to rule over 127 countries? Because of the 127 years that Sara Imenu lived. So what does that mean? What Ma'anyin Shmita Eitzel Har Sinai, as we say, what does Rabbi Kiva waking up his Talmidim have to do with this idea, right, of 127 countries, 127 years? So he says that what's the limud? That each medina has many cities, and each city has many alleyways. Each alleyways has many streets going off it. So that at every moment of avoda of Sara Imenu's life, zachsa Esther limloch al rechov o mechoz shalom. Right? What does that mean? It means if you're saying 127 years of Sara Imenu corresponds to 127 countries that Esther ruled over, so every country, meaning every year, is a country, right? That means every month of Sara's life is a region in the country. Every week in Sara's life is a city. Every day is a neighborhood. Every hour, right, is a few blocks. Every moment is a few more houses that Esther merited to rule over because of the avodah of Sara Imenu. So what that shows us, and this is why Rabbi Akiva used this medrash to wake up his Talmidim, because what does this medrash demonstrate? The significance of time, the chashivas of time, what you can accomplish. You say, what am I doing in a moment? You have no idea, right? You have no idea what you can accomplish in a moment. And how the Rambam writes in Hilchos Deos, that all your life could be focused on God. All the experiences that we have in life could be focused on God. The bracha over sleep, when you go on the elliptical, right? And you're watching something as you're on the elliptical, and I don't mean a shir, because, you know, shirim, you can't give it the real geschmack that you need to on an elliptical when you're watching a shir, at least I can't. But the idea is that you're doing this to be healthy, to serve Hashem better, to have the downtime, to clear your mind. I mean, if you have the right kavanas, literally every moment of your life could be service of God. And it's the old part that Rav Lachman always says, Rav Lachman from Kerem Biavne, and from Reshit, what he always says, like, when we waste time, what do we call it? We call it killing time. I'm killing time. I'm just going to kill some time. Why is it called killing time? Because bittul zman is a slow form of suicide.
Or past time, right? It was also, when you said that also, when like things are a pastime. Like baseball is a pastime.
Oh.
So same
that thing. It's pastime. Right. No, but that's the yisod that this medrash teaches us. How we have to really value time. And I think that, you know, we were talking about this hour, right? The nisyonos that we have in today's day and age for time. I always used to tell people that when you're waiting, and Mom, this is what I used to say all the time, that if you're all the time, this is not so long ago, that I used to say, when you're waiting online in the supermarket, you're waiting online at the DMV, what can you be doing in those seconds? In those seconds, there's shesh mitzvahs tamidios, there's six constant mitzvahs. Every second, you could be thinking thoughts of Avas Hashem, thoughts of Yiras Hashem, thoughts of belief in God's existence. Right? Just basic yisilis. I remember one time when I was with your father, Zichrono Levracha, we were driving over Matzeo Solomon back down to Lakewood, and I was hacking him about different Sheish Mitzvahs Tamidius, what the Kavanas I should actually have. And I was thinking, your father's hopping such on that, he was cracking up. Rabbi, you were getting so worked up. He asked for Matzio Salman, is it mutter to have a dog? And Matzio Salman wasn't so keen on it. He's like, no, but let me tell you, the Lashon Hara dog. It's like, oh, for that? Then he said, okay, I had to have a dog, the Lashon Hara dog. But Mavish, I remember I was talking to Matzio, me, your father, and Matzio, in the car. I was hacking on Matzio about the Sheish Mitzvahs, what kavanas we should have to really be Yotze, to really be Mekayim these mitzvahs. But nowadays, when you go to a supermarket, right, Jeremy? When you go to a supermarket, people aren't standing on time at Bittelsmann. People aren't, well, everyone's standing online. They're looking at the phone. It's like unbelievable. And if they're looking at the phone and the Art Scroll app and they're learning, Nachbes. If they're looking at V'halach Chava Derech, you know, doing Shnai Mikra, just reading the Pasuk and Unkelos, great. But Bizman Hazeh, it's just like unbelievable that we don't have free time. Because it's all sucked away by this.
What don't they have
in the left about that? Right, no, that. But how about we should use it? Unfortunately, I think that often it's not what we're using our phones for when we're online at the supermarket. But I think that this medrash has never been more timely. The chashivas of a moment of avodas Hashem, just a moment, what you can accomplish in a moment. Right, we mentioned before that when the Chavetz Chaim was asked by the Talmidim of the Gon Reb Naftali Trop, the Granat, Rosh Yeshiva Radin, who was very ill, to donate learning in Bezuchus Refuah Shleim of the Granat. How long did he give him, Howard? Gave him 1 minute. He gave him 1 minute.
Is the
Chavetz Chaim? Yeah, the Chavetz Chaim gave him a minute, and the Talmidim of the Granat like made a face like, and Chavetz Chaim says, by your reaction, I see you don't understand the value of a minute. Right? You don't understand the value of a minute. Because in 1 minute, a person can speak 200 words. And Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam means that every mitzvah of Torah, every word of Torah, is 613 mitzvahs. So 200 times 613 is a lot of mitzvahs that a person gets. You understand the value? Can you imagine? Mamish. Now you understand why the Vilna Gaon says when you go to Shemaim, there's a din and there's a cheshbon. And he says the cheshbon is going to be worse than the din. What's din? Din is going to be, you know, on the bad that we do. You know what the cheshbon is going to be? On the good that you didn't do. On the good that you didn't do. And I think the main reason that we're going to have a real issue when it comes to cheshbon, because we're not machsh of time. We're not machsh of time. We don't value time. Every year, election day, I remember the story, I reminded of this, and it often falls around Pars Chayesara, because Reb Reuven Zelig Bengis' granddaughter works in the polling station, in the electioneering station down in the school. What's the school down here?
Walton.
Walton, where I vote. Reb Reuven Zelig Bengis' granddaughter. Reb Reuven Zelig Bengis was one of the Av Bezins of the Badat Eda Charedis in Yerushalayim in the earlier part of the 20th century. This woman told me she remembers she was her grandfather's favorite. She would sit on his lap. His granddaughter lives here in Springfield, New Jersey. She's cousin to the Tarragons. The Tarragons are also from Reb Reuven Zelig Bengis. That's why Reb Reuven Tarragon, and from Yeshiva HaKotel, is actually named after his great-great-grandfather, Reb Reuven Zelig Bengis. So Reb Reuven Zelig Bengis is the one that used to finish Shas on a semi-consistent basis, and one time he made to see him on Shas, and he sent out invitations, and he made a whole party, and people were like, what's Pshat? Invitations for see him in Shas, making such a big deal? So remember what was Pshat? He got up at the Siyam and said, this is the time that I stole Shas from the Yetzirah. What does that mean? He bought a little Shas, and he said he would always carry it. It started with Brachos, and he carried it with him wherever he went. One of those, meaning he sat in the doctor's office, he sat waiting for a bus, he sat by a chasana. You close it when the chasana kala start walking down. But he would just open up in the time just waiting, and he finished Shas. He finished Shas in that time. That's an unbelievable. Can you imagine? So that's why when the Vilna Gaon says in Shemaim there's going to be din and cheshbon, din on the bad that we do, cheshbon on the good that we don't do. He says for some people the cheshbon is going to be worse. I think our dar the cheshbon is for sure going to be worse, because we have a lot of excuses. We have a lot of excuses. Amshin of a Rebbe, someone said, Bishmo, that he said, in our day and age, we're like, honest, we're honest, we're honest. We're honest. There's priests all around us. We're honest for big things. We're anusim. But anusim that we can't think a thought of Torah. Anusim when you have on your phone so much Torah. We're anusim that we have to go to ESPN.com, fantasyfootball.com, instead of Uvalacht Chavaderech, instead of the Art Scroll app. I'm serious. Do you realize it's Ayum Venora? It's Ayum Venora. It's like frightening. And I know, and I say it for myself as much as I say it for everyone else. You know, when you're lying in bed at night, you don't go to ESPN.com. You don't go to Vosses Nayas. You don't go to Matzav. You don't go to...
The excuse is that we're checking on the Matzav.
Okay, so if that's it is, that's why I like Twitter. That's why I like Mukata. I don't have to go... You should know, Baruch Hashem, since I got Twitter, I don't check the internet nearly as much anymore.
You don't have to.
I don't have to. I don't have to go on Vosses Nayas. I don't have to go on Matzav or the Yeshiva World to find out what's happening. And it's a succinct thing. No, I didn't. Because I don't want to do anything online. But and before I tried to go on a computer, he already reached his... he reached that very quickly. Do you see that? A couple of hours, he reached his goal, Mukata. But this is something that I know I wanted to do tefillah, and I want to do tefillah. Ez Hashem will get to do some tefillah tonight, finish hopefully the first Baruch Shmoneh Esrei. But when you come to Parsha Chayisar, not to go over this Torah of the Chedush Yerim is criminal. It's criminal. At least once a year, you have to hear this Torah from the Chedush Yerim. That the 127 countries that Esther ruled over, is 127 years of Sarah's life. That means every moment of her life, Esther was becoming queen over something else. Just the chashivas of Avoda, just this moments of Avoda, means so much. And you know, the Chos HaTalmidim, the Pisatzna, he says, you know why so many people don't reach godless? He writes it. He writes it very clearly. You know why so many people don't reach godless? Because we don't think we're capable of godless. We don't think we're capable, really, of becoming great. We limit ourselves. We put limits on ourselves. We think, how can an American boy, and that's what they say, actually, about Rav Gedalia Shor. Rav Gedalia Shor was born in Europe. I think he was born in Europe, but he was brought to America like when he was 3. And this, some say the same about Rav Gifter, who was born in West Virginia. Rav Gifter tells Rosh Hashiva, who was born in West Virginia, that an American boy can become like a Gadol Hador. Right? What? Well, for us, Rav Nosson Tzvi is the ultimate Mechayiv. You know, I saw there's a video going around. Someone put together a video about Rav Nosson Tzvi's life, like they're selling it. I told Leib, buy for me. I want to see it. I mean, it's a Pella. Every year, NCSY Cole, I don't remember, Jeremy, if you went to see him that day, but every year, NCSY Cole, you know, they'd bring him to Rav Nosson Tzvi. He goes, anyone here from Chicago?
My grandmother grew up
with him. Mamish. She remembers him.
As Nady.
Mamish. That's wild. It's unbelievable. But every year in NCSY Cole, he would do the same shtick. You know, who here is from Chicago? Who here is from Ida Crown? Who here was on the basketball team in Ida Crown? A couple guys, so was I. Huh? He told, I only heard this Maisa one time, and this isn't in the biographies. I don't know the validity, but a guy, a friend of mine, was learning in the Mir, and was talking to him, and see what you do, stay in the Mir, this and that. His parents wanted to go to get a degree, meaning he had a college degree. This was post war, to get another degree. And he said, look, you know, Shiva should know. He said, look, Shiva were different places, came from different places. He went to modern Orthodox day school. She was like, no, I went to, no, but you don't understand. Nassim Tzvi goes, what camp did you go to? So the guy actually went to Camp Monk. His parents, although he was a modern Orthodox school from K through 12, would go to Camp Monk. Rav Nosson Tzvi said, yeah, well, I went to Moshe Vach. I went to B'nai Akiva camp. And some guy's like, maltrap. I don't know if it was Camp Stoner, but he said, I went to the B'nai Akiva camp. Well, so that hasn't made any of the biographies, you know. Only goes to a point. You know? But this is what the guy said. Rav Nosson goes, I'm more normal than you were. Okay? Because I also went to Cohen school and I went to the Cohen camp. You didn't. And the guy was just like blown away. But yeah, just again, but you know what? I'm not saying anyone here has to become Rav Nosson's suit. You know, there were unique circumstances. He spent a lot of time by his great uncle or Blades or Yudel Finkel. I mean, even so, there was, but still. To push ourselves to make a real cheshbon with our time. I think that that every year Parsha Chayisar, when I read this Torah, it hits me again and again, and I realize there's always room to grow. There's always room to grow in this. Always room to grow. you know, especially with the World Series. So, no, I didn't really listen to sports radio. I started listening to sports radio. So again, I'm trying to pull myself out of sports radio. It's like you put yourself in. You want to hear the Mets a little. You know, before I got married, I used to be a Met fan. My wife will deny it. You know, she said I never was into. I wasn't really into sports, but I couldn't marry Leia if I was a Mets fan. Like she's like, you like the Mets? This isn't gonna work. Like, okay, I'm a Yankees fan now. That's okay. I wasn't so set on my teams. Sorry, I'm not so set on my teams. You know, but it was into the Mets, a World Series. I was listening to the radio and this and that, and I'm just, you know, checking ESPN.com more often, and I'm just like, you know, I have to pull myself out of it. So I normally used to listen to why Tar's not doing it. I realized I need Nigunim. I'm listening to a lot of Yehuda Green CD, a lot of Yehuda Green music. Music can pull you out in a way that even sometimes why Tar Shirim can't pull you out. You know, some good Nigunim. I don't know if anyone knows what I'm talking about except for Reich. Reich knows what I'm talking about. Reich understands. Yeah. Josh smiled a little bit, also understands also. It's the Redditchever's niggin, you know. It's the Redditchever's niggin. So you understand that.
I'm tired of it, you know. Right.
No, but this is something. Din and Cheshbon. Din and Cheshbon. And we all have to do Cheshbon. We all have to really think about the value of our time and to really try and make the most of it. Okay, so coming back to Shmona Esrei here, do we have time to still... Yeah, Baruch Hashem. Do we have time to still talk about Shmona Esrei? So we went through last week the Avram, okay, Avram, okay, Yitzchak, okay, Yaakov, the different midos each one. We said Gadol was Avram, Yitzchak was Gibor, Yaakov Vinu was Nora. We didn't get into it so deeply, the actual meaning. Each of those words also mean different midos. Al pi Kabbalah, Gadol is God as the giver. Gibor as the, where do we see God's Gevura? The Gemara talks about this. God's Gevura is that he pulls back from punishing. So some say pulls back from punishing us, right? Like Ramak, Ramosha Cordovero talks about at length in the Tomer Devora. The Reish Chachma talks about this, that Gevura is God's Mida when he pulls back. In what sense? Constraint? Pulling back from punishing us. Others say it's actually Hashem holds himself back from punishing whom? The enemies of the Jewish people. Why is that the strength of God? Because if Hashem feels that the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that whatever a Jew is in pain, Hashem is in pain also. So Hashem, when the Goyim attack us, Hashem right away wants to strike them down. Why does he not do that? Why does Hashem's Gevura pull the Ribono Shelom back? Because we have suffering in this world and the next world. Right? And that's what some say. Some say that the Gevura works both ways. What's Nora? Nora is awesomeness. And Nora is Yiras Hashem. That's what some say. That when we say Nora, we should be thinking of Kel Gadol Gibor. Then we think of Nora, we should be thinking of Yiras Hashem, of being in awe of God, being overwhelmed by Hashem's control of everything, and the fact that how insignificant we are, but yet we have this relationship.
Is that laid out in any of the Siddurim, like the Simanim sometimes has, Siddur has, like, tells you what?
So there's a Yesod Malchus Siddur that on the top of the words actually has like Peirush and small. Like not exactly art scroll, but Peirush, like things you should be thinking of at those times. You know, the Yesod Malchus, that's what it's called, I think? Yesod Malchus Siddur? Yeah, I think it's the Yesod Malchus Siddur. But then when we continue on with Shmona Esrei, Kel Gadol Gibor Vanora, Kel Elyon. Why do we put in Kel Elyon? Kel Elyon is to tell us that even though we are describing God here, we have to understand that we can't describe God. We have to understand that although we were describing Midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we're saying Kel Elyon, we're recognizing that we're not doing any justice. And we have to remind yourself each time when you say Shemona Esrei, Kel Elyon, that ultimately God is beyond any of our comprehension. You don't want Chas v'shalom to limit God in any way, to pull God down to our size, right? The Greeks do that. The Romans do that. Jews don't do that. So that's why we say Kel Elyon. And then we come to a very important phrase, Gomel Chasodim Tovim. Kel Elyon, Gomel Chasodim Tovim. What is Gomel Chasodim Tovim? Gomel is Lashon Hove. Gomel means that Hashem is constantly bestowing upon us Chasodim, kindness, that's Tovim. Kindness that we experience is tov. Gomel chasadim tovim. that this is something that a person is supposed to have tremendous kavana. He quotes here from many, many different sources, Yisod v'shor sh'avoda, from the Tzavav, Yisod v'shor sh'avoda, he talks about this, the Pritzadik and so many others, that komel chasadim tovim, that there should be a tremendous simcha when they say this. Because we just described God as kel elyon, God is totally beyond anything, but yet, he's gomel chasadim tovim. Yet, he's totally beyond, but Hashem is still involved in my life. Hashem still cares about me, that he's bestowing all of these good things upon me. All of these good things that I have to recognize as good and I have to feel as good. And then, after that, we go, just because I'm going a little bit quickly, because I would like to finish the bracha tonight, I want to move on. Then we come to the Kone HaKol, right? Gomel Chasadim Tovim, that Hashem, Gomel is giving constant kindness, goodness. The Kone HaKol means, Lashon, what's Kone? That God is the one that's Kinyan, he owns everything. Kone HaKol, God is the one that's Kone everything. Why do we say that right after Gomel Chasadim Tovim? Because Hashem is Gomel Chasadim Tovim, sorry, he gives, he bestows upon us God, good kindness, the Kone HaKol, and everything is his. Meaning there's no limit to the good that God can give us. Right? That's again, Kel Elyon, God's beyond, but yet he's involved. And when he's involved, we have to know he is the Kone HaKol. He is the Kinyan of everything in this world. And so therefore, when Hashem is being Mashpia good to us, there's no limits to the goodness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could be Mashpia. He's the Kone HaKol. And if it's something that we should have in terms of our lives, if something that we can use, if the Ribbono Shel Olam sees it's good, of course the Ribbono Shel Olam would give it to us. That's Kone HaKol. And then after we say, V'zocher chaste avos. What zocher chaste avos? What's the... How is it leading one thing into the other? What? Right, v'kone akol, and then we say v'zocher chaste avos. And why is it that Hashem is gomel chasadim tovim? Why is this kone akol really doing all this good for us? We deserve it. I know I don't deserve it. I know I don't deserve it. You know, if you really say modem properly, you never feel that you're right. Katonti mikol chasadim. It's unbelievable. So Gomel Chasadim Tovim V'Kone HaKol, Hashem Mamsh, you bestow incredible kindness and goodness every day. Kone HaKol, everything is yours. Why? V'Zocher Chaste Avos. Right? You know why? Because Hashem remembers Chaste Avos. So there's two ways of interpreting Zocher Chaste Avos. One, the Chesed that the Avos did for the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's considered a chesed, the way they acted towards the Ribbono Shel Olam. Zacharti lach, chesed ne'urayich avas kulosayich. The Navi tells us that the Jews leaving Egypt, there was the chesed. They did chesed to Hashem going into the desert. Avram Avinu following God, leaping into the absurd, just totally throwing his understanding to the wind, saying, Ribbono Shel Olam, whatever it is you say, zocher chaste avos. You know why? Because you remember chaste avos of my great-grandfathers. I'm their anacle. That's why you're doing good to me. Zocher chaste avos. Umevi goel levnei v'nehem. And you're going to bring the goel, umevi goel. And again, it's Lashon Hove. So some say it means melech ha-mashiach. Others say, you know what it means? You should think every day Hashem is redeeming us. Every day Hashem redeems us. You know, people that have doubts whether you tefillos at the hill and we say for Eretz Yisrael, do you know how many averted attacks there are? Do you know how many Risham try? You know, that's the famous vort of the Netziv when he was asked by a Tsarist official in Russia. I don't get it. Why is it that you Jews, you have psalms that you pray that that in the end of days that the nations of the world will praise God? I don't get it. So what does the Netziv say? It's a story that's told. The Netziv told him, because we can only praise God for the things we see he saved us from. You recognize what? How many times you were planning to do things to us, and God prevented you from doing it to us. Mevi goel levnei v'nehem. That not only are you gomel chasadim tovim, right? But you're mevi goel levnei v'nehem. that the Zocher Chaste Avos, that you're bringing constant geula to us. We're constantly being redeemed. We're being taken mitzar l'rvacha, mechoshech l'ora, time and time and time again, constantly. Maybe go el evnei v'nehem, but here, l'man shemo be'ava. Here, it's interesting, meaning Hashem gives us good things, right? Because of still zechus avos, zocher chaste avos, but umevi goel, because we know every redemption is a me'ein of the ultimate redemption. Every little piece is a redemption, is a piece of Mashiach. Inside each and every one of us is that spark, nitzos of Mashiach. So umevi goel of nevinehem, leman shemo be'ava. The geula is for the sake of Hashem's name. And what does that mean for Hashem's name? Be'ava, because of the love that He has for us. Meaning, when you're in love with someone, and you see them in pain, that's the greatest tzara. The greatest tzara is seeing someone you love in pain. Right? There's nothing as painful. Right? Dentists get to witness it all the time. Right, Dr. Smilo?
Totally.
When parents are watching their kids in the chair, no? I mean, everyone sits there. No?
Mm-hmm.
But except not by Dr. Smilo, because there's no pain.
Everyone has a fun time.
Right. Everyone is
that the funny guess you give them?
Totally.
So you bring people closer to Hashem. You bring people, you clean people of their sins. Ah, give out. But maybe go a live maybe. But this idea, Leman Shemo Bava, you know why Hashem really brings redemption? Because Hashem wants to redeem us. Hashem wants to redeem us more than it. We just have to want it, right? The famous story we always tell at Nila Sachag, at Sudas Amshiach of the Trisker Magid, the Magen Avram, that you know, that he can't eat, can't sleep because one Jew is just pining away from Mashiach so much. Mevi goel of nevinam. Each little geula Hashem brings, He really wants to bring geula b'shefa. He wants to bring geula shleima. We just have to be ready. But you know why He's bringing it? Leman shemo b'ava, for the sake of His name. With love, because He knows what we represent, that His name is on us, right? That you know, the name of the Ribbono Shel'Olam, Yiro Kol Amei Aretz Ki Shem Hashem Nikra Elecha, right? All the nations of the world will see that Hashem's name is upon you. And that's Be'ahava, that's all with love. And that's when you end, before you come to the Chasima Bracha. I guess we're not going to finish tonight, we'll finish the Chasima next week. If I'm around next week, I have to figure that out. But man shemo be'ahava, the tzaddikim say, when you say this word be'ahava, very important, at the end of the first bracha, be'ahava, take a moment to think of ahavas Hashem osono. You have to think of how much Hashem loves us. When you say the l'man shemo, when you say that word be'ahava, tzaddikim say you should be thinking about it again. They'd say it's a long time. I'm not saying a long time. But think about what that means that Hashem loves you. Think about, do I feel ahavas Hashem osano? Do I recognize how much Hashem loved Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov? And you know what? I'm the children. I'm the grandchildren. So of course He loves me also. He loves me in ahavas kamavis. So lovesick for us. And this is just the first bracha Shmoneh Esrei. The first bracha to take the time. It's just setting the tone of the relationship that we have with Hashem. That's what the first bracha is all about. The first bracha is the entree point. It's creating the intimate relationship with Hashem that allows us to have the rest of the brachas. And Be'ez Hashem will continue growing, but to make use of our time, and to daven, we'll shkoyach.